This is the third and final part of a conversation with Dr. Phil Hubbard of Stanford University. It seems like there's a lot of potential here for an individual teacher in a program to be a change agent, to really influence her peers and get a real community of practice going in one workplace.
I think that is the case, although that can also be a dangerous path to go. I know of colleagues that I've, to tell the truth, been in this position myself from time to time. If you become known as the techie teacher, then sometimes you end up becoming the informal IT support for your group. And people, I wouldn't say take advantage of you necessarily, but they, because they know they can always go to you for help, they don't actually end up learning it themselves. If you as a teacher find yourself in that position, or if you as an administrator notice that one of your teachers is in that position, my recommendation is whenever you, well, first of all, try to reward that person for the fact that they're doing more than just classroom teaching. And secondly, try when you interact with teachers, and this is also true with students, by the way, instead of just fixing something for them, try to lead them through, you know, how to do it themselves. If it's something that's very rare, like, you know, setting up a network in the in their office or something like that, then obviously it would probably be a waste of time and frustration to have them learn how to do that themselves. So they, you need to pick the right things to worry about. But if a teacher, for example, doesn't know what to do when the laptop doesn't connect to the data projector, because it connected the last three times they used it and now it doesn't, and they don't know, they don't have any idea, you know, how to try to fix that. You can't, just like you need to know first aid, you know, for minor injuries, you need to know technological first aid for expected problems with computers breaking down or not working the way that they should, because even the best ones often have glitches from time to time. So if you walk somebody through that, just a quick example, just replacing a cartridge in a printer, that's a pretty minor thing, but if you don't know how to do it, it looks like it's a major thing. So instead of replacing somebody's cartridge, sit there next to them and say, you know, what do you think you should do?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the cartridge is? What button do you push on your printer? And
so be a teacher, in other
words. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But be a, you know, I wouldn't say it's Socratic method exactly, but it's at least interactive. So, you know, try to work them through it so that they're more likely to remember it.
Right.
And it may seem, you know, kind of trivial, and teachers may not even like that approach. So you have to be careful with it, but it does pay off if you can make it work, because people can do a lot more than they think they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think the digital generation is really that much smarter than we are. You know, we just sometimes let them do things because they know how, and that gives us license not to do them.
Any final thoughts? Like, what's really exciting you about Call today?
There are so many different directions that it's going in. At the same time, I've seen this. I've been in Call now for almost 30 years. And every time there are new technologies, a couple of the ones going on today that are big are mobile learning and use of games for language learning. Every time we have an idea like that, a new wave, just as we did with the web when it first came out, people often jump ahead without thinking through what they're doing and why they're doing it. I don't want people to be cautious, but I want them to think about whether whatever it is they're doing really does help. It's just, being careful and especially after you've done something once, being really reflective about, whether it accomplished what you wanted it to. That would be my closing thought.
Can I ask you for one more closing thought?
Okay.
Given the client base of teachers we're trying to reach with the Learn IT to Teach project in Ontario and Canada, what would you say to those people who are facing challenges of one kind or another and perhaps a little fearful or suspicious of learning technology?
One thing that I think is good is to try to put yourself in the position of your learners. In the course I teach on computer-assisted language learning, the first assignment for the teachers, and these are all, well, I get a few in-service teachers, but most of them are pre-service. The first assignment is to go to the BBC Languages website, find a language that they have never studied before, and try to use the computer materials on that site to learn something about the language. And so by thrusting themselves into that role of the learner, I think they see things in a very different light. And often it turns out it's more fun and less frustrating, at least initially, than they think it might be. On the other hand, sometimes if they stick with it, they also discover what the limitations of those approaches are and why, if they were a student continuing, they would also start to get frustrated. So that would be my closing piece of advice. Try it yourself.
Great suggestion. Thanks so much for your time, Phil. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
This podcast comes to you from the Learn IT to Teach project. The project is funded by the Government of Canada through Citizenship and Immigration Canada. Thank you for listening.